Welcome to Oron High School Host Club. We've been waiting for you. Oh, crap. Wrong script. Welcome to Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast, episode 7. We're here for you.
の一味ロードみたいなライマライムしに登場聞こえたろう闇に響こうとビビって興味ないふりしようと好奇心は日に日に上昇ならチェックしに行こう Here we go yo 怪し危う島の地味猛量
多分地獄は満杯溢れ出した連中が団体で列をなしてこの世にスタンバイ奴らの分場所がまず足んない通りで季節問わず熱いはずあえてヒートアップさすいかついバス、oh!かまして汗かかそうどうせやけだろ聞かせ流しようよ、はあ、こいつはまるで火事場すげえネクタまっちまうしマグにデンジャーますます上がっちまうカモンこのジパングもうちょいでパンク、はあ、こいつはまるで火事場すげえネクタまっちまうしマグにデンジャーますます上がっちまうカモンこのジパングもうちょいでパンク。
You just heard Heat Island, the opening theme to Ayakashi, Japanese classic horror by Rhymester. Joining me today are two of our favorite hosts, Mitsugi and Valentine.
I'm eating rice with a fork.
You're an insult to humanity.
I know. I'm sorry.
Well,
I'm not eating rice with a fork. I'm not eating rice at all. Doesn't that just blow your mind?
Somewhere in Osaka right now, Chiaki is eating rice with chopsticks. Because that's what they do.
That's
in Japan? Really?
Yeah.
I
didn't know that.
We actually know that Chiaki is not eating rice. She is exploring. And she dropped her Dragon Ball cell charm into someone's yard and had to ask for it in Japanese because she's in Japan. And they were probably like, silly American girl with your Dragon Ball charms. Why are you in my town?
Actually, they were like, oh, that's the 5-star ball. I have the 3-star ball. And my neighbor has the 4-star ball.
Awesome.
And then Bulma pulled up on her motorcycle.
Bulma.
So yeah, about that.
Okay, so what we're going to be doing today is we're going to be covering some pretty interesting news articles. Our main topic today is we're going to go over some tips in creating your own anime club, because we all know you guys want to create your own anime club, if you're not already part of one.
And so, we've been running an anime club for years, so...
So we know what we're talking about.
Yeah, well, we're supposed to.
Cool. Yeah, okay. Anyway, we've also got an impression today of Higurashi no Naku Koro ni Rei, which is the OVA of Higurashi. We've got three reviews for you, which are Mushishi, Kara no Kyokai, and Piano no Mori. And that's pretty much it, so let's get this thing started.
All right, we have a great show. Let's dive right in. Okay, Hatake... You have a really weird news article today, and and I couldn't believe it when I saw it online. So I really want you to start, because I feel like we should start off with a bang in the media section.
This is certainly a bang. Okay,
oh,
so...
is it ever?
Mm. Well, take that the way you want it. Apparently, Kirsten Dunst was seen cosplaying in Akihabara for a video shoot. She was seen in the... Otaku shopping district in a sailor suit costume and a blue wig for a video that was directed by Mick G, which is fun to say. The video will be screened at an exhibition later this year at the Tate Modern in London.
I've got to say that the best thing about this news article is the picture of Kirsten Dunst, and it's definitely going to go on our website.
Priceless!
So.
Actually.
And for those of you that haven't been to Akihabara, it's basically like your anime nerd and porn district of Tokyo. And I guarantee...
It's my cup of tea.
I guarantee you Kirsten Dunst was having... like every single person in the city in that area was staring at her intently. And probably in an unclean way, you know what I mean? So, from all the windows of the 7-story porn shops.
Of course. Well, Madonna did it, and she actually cosplayed Mello, apparently, in one of her videos. Mm. I think it's called Jump, Yeah, so Mello from Death Note, if you guys don't know. It was so interesting.
That's interesting. So, I would kind of expect that from Kirsten Dunst, but from someone as famous as Madonna.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it, but I'm a little bit surprised also.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think, I guess I'll go second. My article is kind of like a current news article for Japan, but it also has anime implications. Something that happened recently in Japan was that is that they're having a political election to determine the what will be the ruling political party in Japan. And Prime Minister Taro Aso, he confirmed that he will be stepping down as the ruling president of the Liberal Democratic Party. And pretty much the reason why he's doing this is because the projections of the voting between the Liberal Democratic Party and just the Democratic Party shows that the Democratic Party is going to win in a landslide. It's a historical landslide. You know, I think Obama and McCain, I guess. And basically, the Democratic Party Supreme Advisor Hirohisa Fuji has confirmed that his party will redirect funding from the proposed National Media Arts Center. They will be redirecting the funding of $123 million from that to put it in efforts for unemployment relief as well as nursing and medical care. So I'm sure that was a big factor in their party winning. But I think it's funny that they're taking funding from something that causes unemployment, which is anime, and they're putting it in something that helps to get rid of unemployment. And the business graduate student in me wants to say, oh, well, that's great, that makes sense, but then the anime lover in me says, that's bad. So
it's just hard being both, isn't it?
It is.
Being anything but an anime lover.
I mean, it's like my sensibilities against my love, so I really don't know what to do, but so that's the news for Japanese politics. And I know that Valentine has an article that's pretty big.
Okay, so basically, if any of you read manga, I'm sure that you've heard of Tokyopop, which is a popular American manga company that publishes all kinds of stuff. And basically, there's news today that Kodansha, which is a very popular Japanese manga publishing company, has just sort of let their contract with Tokyopop expire. There's nothing in the article about, like, anything, any specific issues, any specific dissatisfaction. It just says that Kodansha was like, yeah, we're not going to renew with you. And apparently this happened with a German company as well that was publishing Kodansha manga. And this is a big deal because the list here includes Chobits, Love Hina, Samurai Deeper Kyo, Rave Master, Initial D, Kindaichi Case Files, Life, Get Backers, and Love Attack. These are all manga that were published by Tokyopop that we're never going to see again from them. They just won't be finished. And apparently Dark Horse was also publishing some Kodansha manga, which, you know, Akira and Ghost in the Shell, which most people are familiar with. Dark Horse, you know, has a reputation for publishing, being one of the American companies that is not primarily manga to publish the manga. Dark Horse also publishes Blade of the Immortal. So, yeah, and I almost had...
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, I know that that's not the same company, but I had a moment where I was like, oh, no. But, so, basically, Dark Horse will be picking up some other manga that Tokyopop had, which include... Clover, Chobits, like I read, Magic Knight Ray, Earth and Card Captor Sakura, and those are generally, well, they're all Clamp, by the way, but Del Rey is going to be publishing, it looks like, Samurai Deeper Kyo, and basically what they'll do is they will pick up all of the first manga and then add the last two volumes that Tokyopop wasn't able to publish, and then, like I said, all of those Clamp novels that I mentioned, Dark Horse is picking those up and is publishing them in their complete forms and will get everything that hadn't been published by Tokyopop. So obviously this seems to me to be kind of a Japanese way of handling things where it's like it's kind of the polite way of telling somebody that you don't want to work with them anymore, and it's just really unfortunate because, you know, whatever you might think of Tokyopop, they have been around for quite a while and they've been you know, sort of a big name in manga since manga started getting popular. I mean, I remember seeing their stuff when I was probably like 13, 14 years old. So that's got to be a big hit for them. And I do feel really bad, although I would be kind of interested to hear what Kodansha's rationale was. So
this sounds to me like they're being anti-confrontational.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what it sounds like to me, too, because, I mean, technically, there's nothing against just letting your contract lapse. I mean, that's how you, that is a way of saying, I don't want to work with you anymore. But in America, we're more used to that really forceful, like, well, this is, I'm dissatisfied, and we're not going to do this, and I don't want to have a business partnership with you. But that, you know, is not, like, traditionally a Japanese way of handling things. So, I mean, this is a pretty big deal, and like I said, I would be interested to know what really happened.
I don't know why, but I just don't care. I feel like most of these animes are finished already anyway.
The manga.
I feel like most of these manga are already finished anyway. It just means that Tokyo Pop's not going to be able to print any more copies of Chobits, Love Hina, Samurai Deburkyo, and these other ones. It's not like there's new stuff to be printed for most of these. It just means that you're gonna have to go on eBay and get your manga instead
you'd
of
have
going
to
the comic book store.
You'll have to get your manga. You'll have to get Japanese manga, because if the problem with that is that if Tokyo Pop couldn't pick it up and nobody else wanted it, if they were like, we're not gonna publish Love Hina, you would never see Love Hina. And
that's true, but what I'm saying is that because there's already 30 million copies of every Love Hina manga in English in America, there's 20,000 people on eBay right now selling it. So just because Tokyo Pop can't print anymore in stock stores with it doesn't mean you...
Oh, I thought that they were saying that they can't finish these.
I'm pretty sure stuff like Love Hina is already finished. I think the point I was trying to get at is that Tokyo Pop isn't probably making a whole lot of money off these animes anyway. Because, let's face it, how many people are really waiting in line at the store every week to buy Love Hina? And when you look on the top 250 best-selling books list, and there's like, it's like peppered with manga, it's always Bleach, One Piece, Naruto, and that's it, because they're still running. These manga have been out for so long. For example, I just looked up Love Hina. It finished in 2004. That it might be true that Tokyo Pop can't print and sell these manga anymore under their licensing, but the bottom line is that I don't think it'll really hurt Tokyo Pop very much, because it's not anime like Love Hina. And I'm sure that some of these, out of the 10, there's got to be at least one of them that's still running, and I'm not going to look them all up right here on the spot, but it's the currently running manga that are ones that are really raking in the money. And if you look at it from a consumer standpoint, I'm not going to sit here and promote torrents, but you really can go on, like, a manga website and literally read every manga in the world scanned, you know, for completely free. Or if you want to be an honest consumer, go on Amazon and buy them. You know, just because Tokyo Pop can't print them doesn't mean that there's not a plethora of copies out there. So I think it'll be okay. I kind of wish that Kodansha would have been a little more tasteful in their ending of their partnership with Tokyo Pop. I mean,
it just seems so unusual. Again, because, like, I know I've said this for the third time now, but I'd really like to know what happened.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I'm surprised that they didn't make any kind of statement, especially since, like, two big wigs in the manga industries, even in different countries, you'd think that they would have had some kind of a statement.
Yeah, I kind of agree. And,
Bigwig is a funny word when you think about it.
Bigwig?
Bigwig. No, because if you think
sounds
about
like
it, it's
wig.
Like, well, it's because it's back in the old times when, like, people, how big your wig was, like, a saddest thing. So if you had, like, a gigantic decorated wig, you were, like, important.
So do you guys just want to, like, slide right into our main topic?
Let's slide into it.
Slide
Let's
to
it.
The bar. And,
slide to the right.
And,
synopsis time.
So, perhaps many of you out there already run anime clubs or attend anime clubs of your own, and Valentine and Hitake are dancing.
Music getting our head.
You wish you could see this. You can't pay for this kind of entertainment.
Well, it's because you said slide, and it's like, slide to the left. That's the right
slide
that I'm sliding
to. Right.
Everybody clap your hands.
Clap, 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 clap.
Do the electric.
Boogie, woogie, woogie.
Yeah, no, that's... No, it's a...
Fail.
It's a... What's it called?
Fail, meets a gay.
What are you guys
doing?
It's
called the cha-cha slide.
Well, there's also the electric slide.
Fifth graders everywhere.
That's so ancient.
Yeah,
it doesn't even count anymore.
It counts. People still do it at weddings.
It's electric.
Boogie, woogie, woogie, woogie. Yes.
Okay, so...
Okay.
It was beautiful.
Anywhere.
We just had a moment.
So, chances are that if you're listening to this segment about anime clubs, that you have either wanted to, already do attend, or run an anime club. But if you're not one of these people and you would like to start an anime club, this is where you're really going to benefit, because we have been running an anime club out of our college, Rollins College, mm-hmm. for years, and we're somewhat versed in some of the interesting and some of the better ways to do it. And also Funimation has some really great tips on running an anime club, and Hatake is going to start us off with that, because I think it's pretty great what Funimation's doing for people.
And I'm a giant funny fangirl. So,
oh my gosh.
Oh my, yes. Represent. Okay, so Funimation...
Hatake in the house.
Yeah. Funimation has this program called Operation Anime, and they have their own site, which you can get to from Funimation.com. They have a couple of links, like a starter kit for anime clubs, promotional material, and like interviews with other anime clubs to help you get started. They actually have the program that where you can request DVDs for free to show to your club, and the only thing that Funimation asks for in return is for all of the members of your club to fill out a survey, just giving them feedback about their anime so they can serve you better.
So, and this is mostly Funimation anime, right?
Yeah, it's all Funimation licensed.
So like Dragon Ball.
Mm-hmm.
And Dragon Ball.
And Dragon Ball.
And Dragon Ball.
Bueller.
Bueller.
What else does Funimation do? Oh, wait. Fullmetal Alchemist.
Oh, let me name them off.
All right, name them off for us.
Okay. There's, well, definitely FMA. There's One Piece, Ouran High School Host Club. I have a list here somewhere.
It's okay. The bottom line is that if you...
Bakano, too.
We just talked about Bakano.
Yes, we did.
So if you would like to start an anime club and you need some resources to get it started, you can go to operationanime.com, which is the Funimation-run website, and Funimation will help support you by giving you anime to watch, and I guess you can also put their name on your, like, under your anime club. You know, we're an anime club, but we are... supported by Operation Anime. It could be a somewhat kind of like a marketing thing for you.
Sounds,
I guess.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. And I think that's a great way to do it. But
yeah.
We also have some personal tips for some of the best things that you can do to keep an anime club organized and keep it running, I think, because it's pretty hard to get people to come to an anime club.
Yosh.
It's like, what do you have to do during your week in college? Well, you can get incredibly drunk. You can get incredibly drunk. You can do your homework.
Oh, we forgot about you can go
and get
out,
incredibly
you can,
drunk.
You can throw up on the lawn.
Throw up on the lawn.
You can pass out on the lawn.
You can also
naked.
Pass out on the ooh.
Just go streaking.
No, that's tempting. Get some ice cream. Drunk.
And naked.
That's true.
And naked. Or you could study.
That's true.
Or you could go to anime club. So if you don't want to make your stomach just get up and leave...
and kill your liver.
And you're tired of studying. You think that people will just be like, hey, I want to go watch some anime. I like anime. But no. People are like, I would rather pick my toes than take the time to walk across campus to anime club.
Kill your liver and your parents' respect.
Oh.
That's right.
Yeah. It's true.
Ouch.
And maybe your scholarship.
So, some of the tips we have, we have five tips. And the first tip is, pretty much every school... will delegate money to clubs.
Funding!
Club funding, right? And if you're like us, you will take all of your club funding and use it to buy stuff to give away at your meetings.
We put the fun in funding.
That was good.
Oh, girl.
I'm here for
humor. I like
humor.
It.
Some good improv.
Comic relief.
For example, on our last anime club meeting, we gave away a plastic standee of Squall, which isn't from anime, but he might as well be.
He's awesome.
And Ichigo from Bleach. Yeah, I think people like that. And we also had a cotton candy machine.
Yep. Which goes over big.
Yeah, stuff like that. Having food and having prizes. The big thing that we were just talking about with funding, if your school has a lot of extra money and they just kind of throw money at you, sometimes it is hard to get access to because you do have to go through some red tape. But once you have that money, you can do whatever you want with it as long as it's related for the club. And people love getting prizes.
Yeah.
It's a nice incentive. And, I mean, unfortunately, like, being if you're an officer, you can't really get the prizes. But as a club member, it really is fun. And, sorry, go ahead.
And before we move on, I'm going to say that one of the things you're going to run into, if you do give away prizes, you know, for trivia and things like that, you're going to run into the one club member who will win trivia 9 out of 10 times, regardless of what you do to stop them.
So
and it really ticks off your other members, you know, because why do they even bother coming to the meeting to play trivia, or why do they even try to play it, you know, when it's running? So one of the things we do is that we give away points to people for attending meetings, helping out at club events, you know,
staying for the whole time,
things like that, and then me and the points rack up, and then you can spend your points like money on different prizes. And
we also have it so you can't win trivia consistently, like, every week, because like Mitsuki said, some people just really know a lot more than other people, and you can't be like, hey, shut up.
Yeah, pretty much.
Stop liking anime so much.
Well, I mean, you can say that.
They don't like that.
No.
They don't like that a lot.
Well, the problem is that even if you did, like, tell them to shut up and they just stop coming, you're gonna have someone else that happens to be the top, and they're gonna win every time. And, you know, some people are just faster than others.
Mm-hmm.
But, Hatake, why don't you talk a little bit about the democratic selection method? Because I know that we're still using that in our club.
Yeah. Well, we kind of like to give all our members their own little voice. And,
Well, most people like being able to speak.
Not always.
Oh.
Some of us are shy. Well, we always vote on anime, and a certain way that, what do we do? Take it down to, we have everyone vote from like a list of 8 to 10 animes, usually 8, and, we pick the top 4 from there, show one episode of each of those, and then have them vote from there, and then we pick the top 2 and show them back to back at every meeting.
What can really be a problem at a club like this is that if the anime that you show doesn't please the members that are there, and it's really hard to please because everybody has different taste, people are just going to stop coming. I mean, I'm just going to say, if you guys started showing something like Ouran High Host Club, I probably wouldn't want to come. I would come just to hang out probably, but that anime doesn't interest me even in the slightest.
Yeah.
So it's really difficult to make everybody happy. So letting everybody vote after seeing an episode of an anime, it really helps them to get a feel for what the anime is going to be like, and it can also be useful to pick more than one anime. Like, if you want to watch 2 at the same time, you can kind of blanket more of the people that come to the meetings. You know, they might not be satisfied with both anime, but if they at least want to see one of them, then they have a pretty good chance of coming just for that one anime.
It really breaks up the monotony of sitting and watching, because even if you really like an anime, sitting and watching 4 episodes of just one anime,
it's tough.
Is tough sometimes. And if you have, like Mitsugi was saying, if you have 2 anime that are pretty different from each other and you show them at every meeting, you know, half the people will be happy half the time. So, and that's good.
That's pretty good. 50% is a good number.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
We also have It's also a good idea to put on fun events. Not only do people love going to stuff like pajama parties for, you know, where you'd show anime and like make Rice Krispie treats, but
and cuddle
and cuddling, yes, with a big stuffed Totoro
or a tentacle monster.
Oh my goodness! So anyway, about our events.
The events also really help to get your name out there. I mean, it helps it's kind of like marketing your club, because if you have flyers all over campus and people know that there's an event on campus, pajama party, you know, who doesn't like laying around in their pajamas? You're gonna be able to get your name out there beyond just the people in the anime community on campus.
Plus, depending on what kind of campus you're on, I mean, utilize what you have. We have, like, I mean, we've done a pool party, because we have a really cool, unfortunately, a really cold as well, pool that's on a lake. But the idea is neat, because, you know, we have access to that. We have a really big lawn that we, you know, we were trying to have a picnic on. But so if your campus has some stuff that's really cool or where people hang out a lot, like, utilize that. Or, I mean, if you don't have a campus, depending on your location, like, use what you have.
Right.
And plan your events around that.
Sure. And, pretty much regardless of where your club's located, you're going to have anime conventions in your area. I mean, it's pretty impossible to live in an area of the United States without an anime convention at least once a year. So, use your club funding to get anime club tickets half price from your convention. Maybe you can work out a bulk ticket order with the convention, or maybe you can, you know, put in a proposal with the school and they'll help pay for tickets. I know for a lot of different years we had like 50 or 60 tickets going to different people on campus a year, and if the school thinks that it's something that's servicing the whole campus and not just your club, which it can be if you open up the ticket orders to the whole campus, then you got a pretty good chance of your school helping to pay for the tickets.
Yeah.
And that's a really good way to, you know,
rope in new members.
Rope in new members for sure.
Plus,
I mean,
being in an anime club and going to an anime convention is like going on a holy pilgrimage.
It really is.
I mean,
yeah.
It's the closest thing that anime fans have to something like that, and it's just fun.
It's kind of a bonding thing, too.
It definitely is.
You go in a big group, and everyone's cosplaying, and it's like you get to see a side of people that you don't get to see on campus, you know?
For better or worse.
Yes.
Usually better.
Hopefully for better, yeah. Yeah. Unless you're drunk Goku.
Oh,
dear.
Awkward.
For those of you who don't know, we used to have a guy that come to our anime club that would always dress up as Goku, and he would come piss drunk to every meeting.
Ouch.
Yeah, he was a charmer.
And he'd, like, hit on the girls and, like, you know, be really loud.
He was
obnoxious.
Always, he was, like, really, he was almost, he was, what, like, almost 30?
He was, like,
and
well,
he was
way older than,
like,
that.
He was always, like, yes, so, what's everybody doing tonight? Were you guys gonna go party or something? And it was like, wow, please stop talking to me. Can you maybe stop talking to me?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't remember Drunk Goku?
I never met Drunk Goku.
I think he was before your time.
Before my time.
His name was John. If you're listening, John, we love you.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously. There's no hate in this podcast at all.
Yeah. But, a final thing is that it's good to have different roles assigned to your members. Like, have a president, have someone to help the president, have a treasurer. Because there's going to be a lot of work involved in the club. And having different people assign specific duties really helps to keep things organized. And it also can assign a sense of responsibility, and people are held more accountable for their actions and for their effort.
Mm-hmm.
So do you guys have anything else to say about, I mean, that's pretty good information. That's like, this is like the culmination of years of running an anime club, you know, divulged into a 15-minute
block.
Yeah,
plus once you get started, I mean, it might seem a little overwhelming at first, and don't get discouraged if it doesn't take off immediately, but you really do learn as you go, and the people who come to your club consistently, even if it's like only 4 or 5 people, really appreciate that you have it. And, I mean, for being on both sides, being, like, holding a position and just being somebody who attended the club, I did really appreciate having that to do and seeing anime that I would not have been able to watch otherwise and being introduced to stuff that I didn't know about. So, I mean, if you can, you should do it. Like, it's great.
I mean, it might be true that you think, oh, well, I don't have to come to an anime club. I can just torrent all my anime. And a lot of people do that. But it's not really necessarily about you know, watching anime and being able to get access to it. It's about, you know, making friends that also like anime, because it's not that easy to do. I mean, if you're an anime fan and that's like a large part of what you watch and what you do for entertainment, it's really hard to find other people that aren't going to like judge you for that.
Yeah.
You know, and are willing to accept you and be your friends, you know, and it's like a mecca of you know, people that are just like you, so
mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's more than just an anime club. It's a social setting too.
It's a family.
It's a family.
It's a family. It's a weird, smelly, adorable family.
Well, if you're at college, hopefully not everybody's smelly, but
yeah, shower.
That,
please.
But that's an ideal
Hygiene
world.
Hygiene is ideal.
So, any last thoughts?
No,
we pretty much covered it all.
Okay, well then let's go into impressions, because I have one. And
awesome.
I am going to do Higurashi no Naku Koro ni Rei, which is the OVA of the series. And it's true that the last episode of the OVA, the fifth episode, was just done. It just aired in Japan. However, it hasn't been fan-subbed yet, so I haven't gotten my hands on it. So I will be speaking from the viewpoint of just the first 4 episodes. And if you've listened to our previous podcast, you know that I am already a huge Higurashi fan. I think it has one of the most interesting, engaging plot lines, It's incredibly violent, but it's fitting for what it is. And Higurashi, the OVA, it's very much the same awesome plotline and suspense that you'll get from the regular seasons. The first episode of the OVA is kind of like a filler episode. It's your typical Keiichi and the girls, you know, playing around and being goofy, being kids. And the real substance of the OVA starts on the second episode, and the events follow directly after the second season. You can't watch this OVA if you haven't watched both seasons. You're just not going to get it. It's not going to make any sense to you at all. It's not intended to be a standalone OVA. It's intended to be a direct follow-up on the second season. That being said, you don't have to watch this. If you absolutely love Higurashi and you are dying for more stuff to watch, this is a really good option for you. But you can leave the second season as is, and it's fine. It doesn't need to be followed up by this OVA. But that being said, it's still really good. It's got some fantastic plot twists that you will not expect. I mean, I was blown away by a couple of different things that happened, and it's not very long. So I highly recommend this to anybody who likes Higurashi. If you want to watch it, I recommend you go back and watch Higurashi, because you're probably missing out anyway. Unless you just can't handle violent content, because in that case, you should probably back away from Higurashi, because it has severe violence in it. And I mean, it has torture, little kids being murdered, little kids murdering other little kids. It's got, you know, everything that you can imagine in it. And except for nudity, I think. It doesn't have any nudity in it.
No, no nudity.
But, it's good. I recommend it. And when the last OVA comes out, I will probably end up reviewing it. So, it's good. That's the only impression we have tonight. And I know that Hatake has a review to do.
I sure do.
So I've been talking for a little while. So I'm going to enjoy my Red Bull and rest.
All right. And I'm going to talk. Okay. So I have a review of Mushishi for you guys, which is probably in my top 10 of all-time favorite anime series. I'll give you guys a plot summary. Okay. They are neither plants nor animals. They differ from other forms of life, such as the microorganisms and the fungi. Instead, they resemble the primeval body of life and are generally known as Mushi. Their existence and appearance are unknown to many, and only a limited number of humans are aware of them. Ginkgo is a Mushishi, or Mushi Master, who travels around to investigate and find out more about the Mushi. In the process, he also lends a helping hand to people who face problems with supernatural occurrences, which may be related to the Mushi. Overall, the series is really, really beautiful. It's episodic, yes, but, so it's, all the episodes are pretty much standalone. There are only really one main character, which is great, because you get to know him really well.
And it saves on voice acting.
Yeah, that's also true.
Which you can pour into beautiful animation.
Mm-hmm, which they certainly did. The art is absolutely gorgeous. I don't think I've honestly seen a series that has prettier art, which may or may not be a good thing. But I would definitely recommend this series to anyone who...
Can I just say something? Because as I'm looking at under your summary, I haven't seen this, and I'm just interrupting for a second, but this, like, I've never seen... Like I've talked about before, if you go on Anime News Network, you can see what people have reviewed, and usually it looks like a sideways bell curve where very good is usually, like, the highest, and then it goes off. This Mushishi has, like, it's like a... I don't know. What I'm trying to say is 1,445 votes as a masterpiece, and the second excellent is at 698. So it's like...
It's really top-heavy.
It's hugely considered to be a masterpiece, and I've never seen that kind of a rating before.
Just to point it out, it's the ninth highest rated anime ever on News Network.
Yeah, so that is really impressive, and I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what would you say are the best points about this series? I confess to only having seen a couple episodes of it.
Oh, I'm insulted. Okay, I'm going to lend you some DVDs, Jeff.
Okay.
Okay. Well, it's honestly, like, it can be a very spiritual anime for people. I watched it, I like watching it on rainy days, because it's absolutely perfect. It's got a very, very calm tone to it, and...
It's very, I remember one episode in the beginning is about a girl that can't see or something.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's
and
exactly what it is.
It has a very mellow feel. Like, it's the kind of anime you want to watch, I think, if you're just wanting to relax.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Rainy Day is kind of a good way to put it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And also, for some reason, every time I watch it, I want to take a hike.
That's a little strange.
Because it's so pretty, and it's, like, nature-oriented. Yeah. I stick by the spiritual feel of it, because a lot of times in the anime, it's about opening your second eyelid, as they put it, and seeing things that you can't see normally that are the cause of many, like, natural disasters and simple things in nature that you wouldn't really think twice about.
Hmm.
What else can I say about Mushishi? It's absolutely wonderful.
I think it's the kind of anime that a doctor would prescribe you to lower your blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, well, honestly, it's got a really, really similar, like, Miyazaki-esque feel.
With all the little bugs
with all
and stuff
the, yeah,
it.
With all the design of all the mushi.
Speaking of bugs, mushi means insect
mm-hmm.
in Japanese, so.
That it does.
You and just got learned.
I don't know, it reminds me of a lot of bedtime stories, like the Grimm's fairy tales.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, they're really, there's some whacked out stuff, but it's really, really cool. And I'd have to give this 5 out of 5 mushi.
All right. Is that our second 5 out of 5? I gave one to Hajime no Ippo.
Oh.
So I have an anime I want to do. It's the second anime out of our three, and it's one that's very new, but it is finished now. It's called Kata no Kyokai. And I was really impressed with this series. The storyline of it is that it's about a crime agency that investigates murders, and basically all of the members of the crime agency have special powers. There's one girl named Shiki who can basically see the lines of death, and as soon as I saw that, I was thinking Tsukihime immediately, because she can, like, see the lines, and where if she cuts them, it'll basically annihilate a living organism, you know, whether it's like a flower or whatever. But a lot of the series is spent showing how the members of the agency came to join it and the relationships between the members, and I think that's kind of neat. I mean, it doesn't really take place in order. It's one of those animes where the second episode would be first, and the first episode's really third, you know, and the third episode's first. But
yeah.
After you see the the third or fourth OVA, it kind of makes sense in your head. And that being said, this series is 6 OVAs. 5 of them are 50 minutes, and and one of them is 100 minutes. So all in all, it's about 7 hours long. I kind of want to call it The Adventures of Yogi, Shiki, and Pals as they battle supernatural forces and solve crimes. Because that's basically what it is. I mean, that's the best way I can put it without spilling a lot of spoilers into it. I mean, the show was a little slow at first. And they do this thing, and it's very weird. The show is beautiful. I mean, it's obviously 100% CG, and I guess I can't really criticize it for that. But they do this thing where they'll be talking for like 10 minutes, and, you know, doing like crime talk, and, you know, and then someone will get killed, and there's like 20 seconds of horrific, and I mean disturbing, images, and then 10 minutes of crime talk. It was like, in order to make the crime talk and all the mystery stuff a little more interesting for people that like something a little more engaging than just talking, they would just, like, hand-feed you 20 seconds of gore just to kind of help along the pacing. But in reality, you can see right through it. See, you can see what they're doing. I mean, for the first three OVAs, I think probably only 15 minutes of it was actually interesting. It picks up more in the end, and you get a better feel for what the plot line really is, other than just one episode at a time. There's someone being murdered, you know, the person killing them has a supernatural power, you have to stop them, they hunt them down, there's a fight scene, and that's it. But the animation is amazing, like I said. For a series this long, I'm just blown away. It's like Byosoku in quality. I mean, really. It's like, the details are incredible, the backgrounds are beautiful. The main problem with the series is the pacing. I just couldn't get around the fact that it was so slow. And I'm going to give it 4 bloody corpses out of 5 just because it has such bad pacing problems. And that's the only reason I'm giving it a 4. I really think it's good. I recommend it for people who like supernatural, like mystery type things and crime investigations, the paranormal. It's got some really cool characters in it. And they have really solid backstories, but I mean, if you're like me, you're gonna be really bored for the first 2 hours of it. And I was really glad it did pick up in the end, but it wasn't really enough to save it for me. I have another anime that I want to talk about, and it's also really good. It's called Piano no Mori, and it's a movie about... Oh, and before I start, I gotta say that I watched this movie completely raw. No subtitles at all. Zero. And so my interpretation of this movie is what I think it's about after 5 years of studying Japanese and being able to understand probably half the dialogue. So... it's not really made for adults, so I think I kind of got the gist of it. But Amamiya Shu transfers to a school, and he starts to hear rumors about a piano. And, you know, that's kind of like a weird way to start a plotline summary, I know. But there is a haunted piano in a forest, and the piano is mysterious because only one person can play it. And because it's supposedly broken, but mysteriously there's one person that has the ability to make it work. And that's kind of interesting. I enjoyed that. And that person is Shu's new friend, Ichinose Kai, who basically, he kind of wanders into the forest at night, and he plays this piano, and it's a very musical anime. The anime is about musicians. It's kind of like Nodame Cantabile in that way, except it's not quite as good. And I play piano, so that's why I was interested in the anime in the first place. It's about a piano competition, and the interesting thing is that the Ichinose Shu, the boy that can play the piano, he uses it to perform in the competition, and the music and the forest piano, they kind of draw out his skills and make him, you know, better than he would be otherwise. And it's, as you might expect from a title like this, the music is really lovely, but it's kind of like cheating, I think, because, I mean, when the anime's music is all from, like, Mozart and Chopin, you really can't really compare it to the modern composition, because it's just, you know, on a different level. So, but, I mean, still, the music's beautiful. It's, I mean, how can you say anything bad about the Raindrop Prelude? It's kind of like, I mean, what really can be said? The animation is okay. I mean, the series isn't that old, but the animation is about average. It's nothing to like freak out over. It's not overly beautiful. The backgrounds are a little bit better than most, I'd say. But it is a movie, so the funding's probably really good. It's about 100 minutes long, so it's not gonna like drone on and on and bore you to death. I mean, it's directed by Masayu Kojima, which was the same guy that did Monster, which is why I originally picked this up, because, you know, we just reviewed Monster and it was incredible. And by the way, that was another one that we gave 5 out of 5 to. And also he's the original author of Master Keaton, which I haven't watched, but I'm sure that that's also really good. So in the end, I'm gonna give this series or this movie 3.5 Beethoven sonatas out of 5. I think it's really good. I would recommend it to people who like classical music and are musically inclined, and maybe if you play the violin or something, I think you would really particularly like this. It's not an action movie. It's got a little bit of comedy in it, but not a lot. All I can say is good luck finding it in with subtitles, because, you know, as somebody who goes through like 100 torrents a month, I couldn't find it with subtitles. So, you know, you're either gonna have to learn Japanese or probably just enjoy the music. So that's pretty much Piano no Mori in a nutshell. And that's pretty much all I have to say about these animes. That's a pretty good score tonight. Mm-hmm. 5, mm-hmm. 4, and a 3.5.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of interested to see where Monster falls on that News Network rating. I bet it's pretty close to Mushishi. Maybe a little bit higher. I'm not sure. Anyway, so... Oh yeah, we have some new members that joined the forum. Since our last podcast, we had Kincaid Nowell, Lacuna, Kitsune, and Lelouch Yagami all joined the forum. And speaking of Lelouch Yagami, he was the person who won the trivia for this week. The question was, it was an audio clip that was the theme song to Elfin Lied. And yes. Three people actually got it, but as we do a drawing every week out of the people who got it right, Lelouch was the lucky winner, so we only have...
Congratulations.
Congratulations to you, even though you recommended School Days for me to review, and I hate you because of it. Just kidding.
No hate, remember? No hate on this podcast.
No haterade here. So,
haterade.
That's our podcast for today. I want to mention a couple more things. Coming up in the future, Valentine and I will be going on the Gundam podcast sometime in the middle of September.
We're really excited about that.
And we met up with them because they live like right next to us. And they were really cool guys. I enjoyed talking with them. And they're also going to come on our show sometime during September, a crossover. Mm-hmm. And we're not really sure the details of what we'll be discussing, but you guys will know whenever we do, I'm sure. And
so get excited. We're
indeed.
Excited.
Yeah, get excited because I think it'll be really fun. I mean, I've never gone. I mean, I've been on other podcasts before, but never been on another anime podcast. So I'm really looking forward to talking with these guys.
I'm excited to listen to it.
Yeah, and hopefully Chiakia will be back from Japan. She keeps sending me these messages about random stuff. She's like,
I found you a gift. I'm so goddamn jet lagged.
Just like, I like how you do her voice.
She's probably delirious.
Yeah,
she's like am I in Japan? I'm in Japan.
You can tell she's really excited because I've gotten a picture of Tortoro, a picture of a random bottle of honey milk tea, which I thought was like the most random thing.
It's got a picture of recycling bins because I think recycling is awesome, and so does Japan, apparently. So Japan and I have another thing in common.
Yeah. In Japan, they don't have trash cans. You just kind of walk around with your trash in your pocket until you find a recycling unit, and then you just throw it in there. So I think we've rambled on and on enough. You can visit us on our website at aaapodcast.com. There's a forum button on the website. Our forum's kind of new, so we'd really like to get some to get some activity on the forum.
We'd really like to hear from you.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to get people to join the forum when there's not much activity, but I mean, you know, eventually if people start joining, there will be activity in the future. So also you can find us on iTunes and Feedburner under Anime Addicts Anonymous, and we're also on YouTube and Facebook. So you can pretty much find us anywhere. Hatake, why don't you carry us out?
Alright. Okay, we'll be ending with the song Mystic Eyes, which is performed by Wada Hiroki, and it's the ending theme of Escaflowne.
I hope you guys enjoyed the show, and hopefully Chucky will be back next time.
We'll love it. We're excited to hear her stories. From her initial impressions of Japan.
She better have some.
Oh, she will.
Of course, they're just going to be jet lag delirium.
No, that's okay. That's what we like.
It's funny. It's humor.
Okay, well, good night, you guys. Have a good week.
Good night.
Good night.